I'm here on a job site with Tim, who owns his own electrical contracting business.
3 employees and 2 work trucks.
Tim traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance. We're positively here where he needs us most.
They sure are.
With step-by-step help on all his insurance needs, all for shockingly low rates.
Shockingly low, huh?
Just a little bit of electrician humour. Do you get it?
I got it.
You know, it feels like we have a real connection. All right, I'll stop.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. It feels good to Geico.
0141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard as we look ahead to a huge weekend across Scottish football. Philippe Clement says he's not held any out of the ordinary talks with the Rangers board this week and vows to fight on. Brendan Rodgers backs his players to handle this busy schedule of Champions League and Premiership action, although Paolo Bernardo is out and a huge weekend in store. Will Aberdeen get back to winning ways? How will not have a manager affect Motherwell as Ross County come to town? Plenty of questions to be answered over the coming days, and we'll start in the company of Scott Allen and Simon Donnelly. Have you enjoyed your week?
Yes. I thought Celtic responded well in the Champions League after, you know, a class above Bayern Munich at times. Celtic, you know, went into it looking to take something over to Munich next week, and that's exactly what they've did. So I enjoyed that. And I couldn't believe what I was seeing at the weekend. I know we haven't touched on it. I was on the show last Friday. I didn't see any upsets coming along.
What was your prediction?
Did not see that coming at all. Well done, Queen's Park.
Yep, it's been Rangers crisis mode. Scott and Philippe Clement spoken today, so on we go.
Yeah, there it was, the final straw for many Rangers fans with Philippe Clement. He and his team owe this Rangers fan base a huge performance and a real difficult tie, obviously away to Hearts at the weekend. And as Simon says, I felt there was lots of positives in Celtic's performance against a top draw team in Bayern Munich, and they welcome Dundee United to Celtic Park.
There's a method to my madness, because this is not by accident. I had a look through the register of Clyde One Super Scoreboard
squad
pundits that we've got. Maybe should have chosen a different word. And I thought, which two pundits would have received the most Valentine's cards during their playing career, and arrived at you two? Is that accurate, would we say? I can just imagine.
It's been a long time.
Surely in the 90s, though, that would have been the done thing.
Yeah.
You must have got some sent to.
Would have got a few
Celtic
back in
Park.
The day, yes. Yes, but that's many moons ago.
I can imagine, honestly.
Many moons ago.
Teenage
had to reply
heartthrob
to him, obviously.
I'm sure you did.
I think my sister did. I think she'd reply for me.
At the peak of your powers, any arrive at Easter Road?
No, it was more a school thing, wasn't it? Oh, wasn't
me, yeah. Were you more the DM generation?
Yeah, getting there, yeah, I think.
Okay. That's fine. I was just checking. Don't forget, there's love is in the air. If you want to move away from football, go and send us some Scottish football poetry. Why don't you? Do we do this every year? Yes. Is it worth it every year? Also, yes. Roses are red. Take it away. That's all you need to do. Complete the line, your Scottish football poetry for the guys tonight. Roses are red, and take it away. Did you push the boat out? Did you get your significant others flowers, chocolates,
to be honest,
cards,
I haven't. She's
teddy bears.
My wife is still at her work, so I've still got some time.
You'll be like, on the way here, I stopped at the petrol station, yeah, and I saw a guy running in his slippers. 5 o'clock.
That could be me.
Any slippers to read what was left of the flowers? You seem like a romantic, no?
A potential ho wong for something to eat over the weekend.
Nice.
So,
okay. Sounds good.
I
got mine an electric toothbrush. So it's really just things change the longer you go, don't you? There's just no real romance. But anyway, 01419511025. What are you thinking then? I know football's no laughing matter this week, is it? I'm sorry. Give us your thoughts on all the serious stuff as well. Rangers fans, I'm looking at you again because it is the first time we've heard anything from the club. Monday, you're reacting to the scale of the result, and Tuesday, and it's wondering about, does Philippe Clement pay the price? If you followed us throughout the week, it then becomes, why has the club not said anything? He's obviously not going to pay the price. Can we get some sort of communication? What's Patrick Stewart saying to this? What are the board saying to it? And the first time we've heard anything from the club has been today, Philippe Clement's press conference. If you're interested in these sort of things, all in all, it was about 24 minutes long. Take it from somebody who was in the room. It was tense. It was awkward. It's a guy who clearly knows that he's under pressure. But in terms of his position, he says he's spoken to the Rangers board, of course, but only in the same way that he always speaks to them, just talking about the game at the weekend. He says his position hasn't changed any as far as he's concerned. Talks about wanting to fight on and understanding fans' frustrations. He's even addressed the abuse that he got, because I'm sure many of you have seen the video of him leaving Ibrox, which is clearly unsavoury. So all your thoughts, please, Rangers fans. I know some of you have started switching off a bit and not wanting to hear what he had to say, but there will be loads who listened today to see if there was any sort of explanation or any sort of clarity. What did you make of what you had to say? Did you expect more of the sort of crisis talks, if you like, with the board? Did you expect a bit more to come out of that game on Sunday? Because it looks like it is very much business as usual, and I wonder how you feel about that. 0141 951 1025. That, Scott Allen, added to the small matter of a trip to Tynecastle.
Yeah, very difficult fixture. Hearts obviously picked up since they've obviously made their signings in January, and Rangers obviously away form hasn't been a strong point this season. But for me, Philip Clement needs to come away with 3 points. Anything less will be, he'll come under severe scrutiny even more than he is at this moment in time.
That's the thing. What does more look like? And I'm not criticising Scott's turn of phrase, because I get where he's coming from, but what is more?
I know. But listen, just every game, and the heat gets turned up tenfold again. You know, Rangers, I wouldn't say they turned a corner, but they looked a wee bit more midfield to front, as if they could go and score goals. But when they come up against teams that sit in, they just seem to struggle. I don't know if they like to feed off other teams trying to attack, but they just looked devoid of ideas at the weekend. The longer the game went, panic set in, and it's a real upset. But I don't know where they go from here. I know they've said it's not a financial situation with Clement, but I can't see it being anything else.
Right, let's hear from Philippe Clement, Rangers fans. I know this is not your idea of Friday night entertainment at the moment, but it was important to hear from him for the first time. And I wonder, what do you make of this? What do you make of his feelings on the week? What do you make of his explanation about what's happened? What do you make of the fact that there doesn't appear to have been these crisis talks that some of you would have hoped for? I mean, let's be honest, many of you who've called this week were hoping for more than that. You were hoping for the manager to lose his job, but I wonder if at the very least you expected there to be that sort of, you know, crunch talks type thing. How do you feel about what Philippe Clement had to say? Do give us a call right now if you can, 0141 951 1025. He says he's had no indication that the backing from Patrick Stewart has changed, and he says the talks have been normal.
It's about the next games, the next months, everything. I know we didn't want to go out of the cup. I didn't have any other signal of no backing, and that's the case in football as a manager. So I'm going full to get the results that we want, and also to continue making the development of all the players. It's been the case the last period. We had good results. We had you guys talked a lot about the away record, and it was true also domestically. We had the good game in Dundee United, scoring 3 goals there. We had the last couple of weeks games, 3 goals, 4 goals, 5 goals, domination, good games against Tottenham and Man U, qualifying first 8 for Europa League was above expectation. We had a good win against Celtic also at Ibrox, so a lot of positives. This was a very negative one. It's not a reflection of everything that happened this season with this group of players. But we need to get back to the level that they had the weeks before. We need to work on that. And we need to have the right mindset for that. And that's about reacting after this unacceptable defeat.
William is the first Rangers fan to kick things off tonight. William, so the manager making it clear there, he's had talks, but nothing out of the ordinary. He's staying for now. What do you make of that?
Not surprised to hear him say that. I think I was on the show the other night to say that I expected him to still be there. And I'm not surprised at all. I think with Patrick Stewart, the new CEO, and Fraser Thornton, the new chairman, come in over the last couple of months, they've become what I think we feared was going to happen, that Patrick Stewart's just another puppet for the likes of the Parks and the other investors. It's basically he's just doing what he's told. You know, chief executive, I thought him going in there, he'd be told, right, you run the club how we'll sit back and continue to invest, and you run the club how you see fit. That's clearly not going to happen. He's just answering to the likes of Park and Co. above him. Nothing's going to change. Clement's press conference there as well, embarrassing. He just doesn't get it. Like, he still hasn't even so much apologised for last weekend's defeat. And it just sums up what's wrong at the club just now. The lowering of standards over the last few years is disgraceful, and it's sickening. We're not a big club anymore. Like, we're only Rangers by name. Big clubs don't act like this. Big clubs don't lose to Queen's Park and then not sack their manager after it. It's just the lowering of standards is sickening, really, at the moment.
Did you, at the very least, because I said that there, William, I think most Rangers fans, certainly the ones that phone in, wanted managerial change. At the very least, did you expect there to have been that kind of, you know, like the crisis talks or whatever you call it, to hear Philippe Clement say today that, that's not been the case?
I wasn't surprised about it at all. I knew the board wouldn't do anything because the official club Twitter page as well didn't even tweet anything until today. The press conferences, the attitude from people above Philippe Clement, Patrick Stewart, Fraser Thornton, Douglas Park, everyone else, is just, we'll sit and say nothing and hopefully it all blows over and it will just get to the next bad result and then it will keep continuing on and on and on. You can remove Philippe Clement and he should have been removed a long time ago, but for as long as the likes of Park and all that are still in charge, nothing's going to change. You could put another manager in there tomorrow, we'll be saying the same thing in a year's time. Nothing's going to change unless there's wholesale changes, and that's including the board and the investors. They need to sell up and give it to someone else.
What did you make of what you heard today, Scott? I know that, you know, results are more important than press conferences and stuff like that, but this is the update. You know, this is the, as William alluded to, there's been nothing from the club this week, so this was like the update in a sense. What did you make of it?
Yeah, I think they've tried to sweep it under the carpet, and hopefully, as William touched on there, that the fans maybe forget about it. I think the worrying thing for the Rangers fans is Philippe Clement and rhyming off the games, four or five games throughout the season in isolation, is big performances. That goes against everything what Rangers fans are looking for the team. What they're looking for is consistency and being in with a chance to win trophies and pushing Celtic to as long as possible in the league. They're out both cups. They've lost to Championship Queen's Park at home. They didn't even look like, until the last 10 minutes, that they were capable of scoring goals. I think that's the worrying thing for me, is that rhyming off the games in isolation and not understanding how bad that result that was for the Rangers support.
Well, I've got a degree of sympathy, Simon, because I don't know, even if they had, would Philippe Clement come and say, you know, I had talks with the board and we really scrutinised my position? I don't know if he would, but it doesn't give off that vibes. He doesn't give off.
No, as Scott says there as well, though, it's like putting a kind of false positive spin with these other results. You know, talking about the results against Spurs, the 3-0 against Celtic. Yeah, it was a good performance, but ultimately, Rangers fans will look at the league table, and the league table doesn't lie. They're 13 points behind. And yeah, I thought getting into the Europa League last 16 was a great achievement. It is a good achievement for Rangers, and it's something for their fans to look forward to. But the silver, or the realistic silver we left, was the Scottish Cup, because Celtic aren't going to allow them back into this league race. The League Cup's gone. That was the realistic thing, to get into the quarterfinals, and they've slipped up massively.
Is that the next problem, William? Yanis Hadji was the player that spoke today as well, and him and the manager spoke about, you know, winning games. It's like the only thing you can do. But is the worry there that there aren't really many meaningful games left for Rangers to do that? Europe clearly is important, but if you're saying that the league's over and you're out of both cups, like, what how do you pull it back from here?
I don't think you can. You know, you said it there, essentially, like, we've got, was it 12, 13 league games left? We're still in the Europa League. Essentially, we're in the middle of February, so it's still 3-4 months to go to the end of the season, and we've only really got two, at least, unless we get through in the Europa League, at least two meaningful competitive games left. We could win 8-0 on Sunday at Tynecastle. We won't, by the way, but we could win 8-0 on Sunday and no one will care. It doesn't matter. Like, the league games, it's pretty much meaningless bounce games and domestically between now and the end of the season. That's how bad it's gotten. No one's going to care if we win on Sunday. No one, because we're just waiting for the next bad result. That's where we are with this manager and this group of players, and Come on, just needs to go, and I fear that he won't. The club will just keep going on and on and stick their head in the sands and think everything's fine when it's clearly not.
Yeah, the press conference today, Scott, you know, dominated by these conversations, and he was, I can't remember if it was in that specific clip, but he said something along the lines of, yeah, I spoke to Patrick, but I speak to him after every game. We spoke about how how the result didn't match the performance, sort of thing. And it feels like it's kind of beyond that, really, for the Rangers fans, isn't it? Like, I know why I'm sure he believes it, but to keep repeating the fact that they deserve to win the game at the weekend,
that's not the first time.
It's also really irrelevant now, isn't
it? It doesn't matter, God.
Yeah, that and it's not the first time. I think the Motherwell away game where they were 2-0 down and they said they should have won the game. So it's not the first time he said that. He does pull out excuse after excuse. Ultimately, you got to just face the music. It wasn't good enough. He obviously made the changes at half time, which he felt weren't working for the team. He brought on the experience that also didn't work. And they lose a poor goal. Yes, they were unfortunate. Taverney doesn't score the penalty, but ultimately Rangers should have seen that game out far more comfortable and made Queen's Park really work for the win, but for me they didn't.
William, I thought you made some fair points and made them well. Thank you very much. It was William in Port Glasgow. Keep your thoughts coming then. How do you feel about it heading in to this weekend? If you call now, we will get you on next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboards. Watch as well as listen. Check out our YouTube stream now.
Hello, I'm here during the lunch rush with Janice, who owns her own food truck.
Best cheesesteaks in town.
Janice traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for her food truck business. We're here where she needs us most.
They sure are.
We make it so easy for her to save, with customised coverage that grows with her business. Sorry, I just get so emotional talking about saving folks money.
Not this onion I'm chopping.
It's just so beautiful. Oh yeah, nice, the onion.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. It feels good to Geico.
0141 951 1025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Who else would you rather spend your Valentine's Day with than Scott Allen and Simon Donnelly? Don't answer that. 0141 951 1025. Give us a call though. Let us know what you're thinking. Today's football news, looking back on midweek for Celtic, looking forward to a big weekend, whatever you so wish. I did say on Twitter you could and should send us your roses are red Valentine's poetry. Difficult start, I would say, on the what can we say on a family show. Murph says, I like this one, to be fair. Roses are red, Gordon DL's old. How can someone with that face have patter so bold? Says Murph. Quite like that. If you could make them a bit more like football related rather than insulting to the pundits, just at some point. I don't mind a few of those, for goodness sake. But we'll see how we get on. Let's go back to the phones and see what we've got there. Lighting up nicely for a Friday evening. So keep them coming on the usual number, 0141 951 1025. We've got Gareth on. How are you, Gareth?
I'm okay, you?
Not bad, thank you. What's on your mind tonight?
Basically, just again from the fallout from the beating from Queen's Park, really the manager needs to go. And personally, the board has came out and said they're going to back him. But I think the trip to Tynecastle on Sunday is going to be really hard. I think Hearts will be up for it. And I possibly think Rangers might get beat.
And will that change? Does that change anything, Gareth? No, is it just kind of gone now in terms of the manager? Would he survive defeat at the weekend, I suppose, is what I'm asking.
I think if he wins, I think it's just all it's doing is just like painting over the cracks, really.
Yeah.
Regardless, the league's gone, so we're going to get second place regardless, probably. But at the same time, I don't think we need to back him anymore. He needs to go.
So I get what you're saying about the win. Does that extend then to the other side of it? So if he lost, would he still stay? Do you know what I mean? Is it now so far gone that wouldn't make any more difference if he lost?
I think if he loses, the board's going to back him anyway because they can't afford to sack him. So he's probably just going to stay in. But how long can he go on before he keeps on losing games?
Yeah, see why I asked the question, Scott. I wonder if it is now. Is that the impression you're getting? By the way, Rangers will still, despite all of this stuff, go there as favourites. That's the way Scottish football works. And they may well win the game. Of course they might. Just trying to get an understanding of how secure you feel Philippe Clement is. Would he survive failure to win at the weekend?
I think so. I think if the Rangers board were going to make a change and obviously relieve Philippe Clement of his duties, it would have been done after the Queen's Park game, especially with the backlash from the fans. Obviously, like you said, the unsavoury things that we did see at Ibrox after the game. But I think if they were ever going to change the manager, that would have been the time.
I still don't know. I still don't know because, as you say, it's Rangers. There's a lot of unrest out there with the fans, and if they went and get beat again, I don't know. I don't. It doesn't change much in the grand scheme of things.
What is the final straw? Because bearing in mind, and I'm not saying people were right, but we've had this conversation before. You know,
yeah,
so when it was seen as the final straw, and then this result is actually different because in isolation this one's horrendous.
Yeah.
You know, all those previous ones, you can go to Rugby Park and drop points, you can go to Fir Park and drop points, you can go to St Mirren and drop points. What the conversation there was the accumulation and the away form as a collective and the fact that you've fallen behind Celtic. But this time's different because it's an isolated result that is that bad.
And it's that tournament. It's the bigger picture, as I said earlier on, probably the realistic chance of silverware. So you lose the League Cup final,
yeah,
to your rivals. The league's going, or gone rather. So you have to focus, right, okay, we have to put all our eggs in one basket with a Scottish Cup, and they get beat at home to Queen's Park.
Is there a positive in a new manager coming in at this moment in time, when the club's obviously, the fans aren't happy with a lot of the playing squad and the manager? Is there even a point?
So you don't think there is then, is that why you're asking?
I think it's up for debate, that. I think if you were a manager looking at Rangers, you would like to come in the summer and have a fresh look on things.
I just feel the unrest if they were to get beat the weekend.
Too much.
I think so.
So Gareth, how does this kind of, what does it look like then? Is that the worst bit where you accept that you just kind of limp on and just take whatever happens? And
I think people are looking from the outside, managers wise, they're not going to want to come into this job because there's no finances there, and they're not going to be there players. So you may as well just wait till the summer. But at the same time, how more can you go on losing games? That's not what Rangers do. As they've never been in this situation for a long time. We haven't won trophies, but at the same time, we're not going to catch Celtic now. So they might just think, well, we'll keep him in the job. But at the same time, the more and more it gets embarrassing, we're getting beat, then how can you, what, bringing in a new manager, is that going to change that?
Yeah, I just wonder what that kind of limbo looks like, Scott, because this might not feel like it to the Rangers fans tonight, but Rangers probably won't lose that many games between now and the end of the season. They just won't, because of the food chain here, they're miles ahead of most of the teams, so they probably won't lose that many games. But that doesn't mean he's the right man for the job, does it? So how do you balance that up in the next couple of months?
I think, as I touched on, with the Scottish Cup being the last piece of silverware, that realistically Rangers were a myth of chance in winning. The fact that he couldn't get Rangers over the line against Queen's Park at home, that was the straw that broke the camel's back with the Rangers fans. So yes, they could limp on, win game, could go on a wee run and win 3-4 in a row, but there's always that chance where Rangers could slip up and then the following week produce another result.
They're always one negative result away from this crisis again. They've got Europe to cling on to. You know, they're in that last 16. And that seems to be where their best performances have came.
So I bet he wishes that was this week. You know,
purely based on how the opposition teams play, though. And it's the same as Celtic. Ibrox were set up to play against, counter-attack against the Celtic side.
Thank you to Gareth. We're going to speak to John in a second. Let's hear a bit more from that press conference today, where he says he is determined to stay on because he knows what the good times can be like at Ibrox.
It's because of this synergy with the fans, and because I know how great this place can be if you have success, if you win trophies. So there is my hunger, my desire for all of that. That's a choice I made before I came, compared with other teams who were interested at that moment, and it's still the case here. And like I said, it was a really down moment, a hard moment, a moment that I understand also, all the reactions, but I know also all these other reactions also from the past and how great place this can be. So my determination is day and night to make that story better, to get this consistency, what we had now during our longer periods, but not long enough, and that's what we need to build with this squad, to get this consistency. As an athlete, you have a defeat, you cannot dwell in that, because then you throw away all these other opportunities that can come after. They need to react now. We all need to react now on Sunday.
John is on the line. What's your take on this, John? How are you feeling tonight?
Well, I was just saying to your producer there, I'm sorry. Thanks for having me on.
I was just saying
to your producer there that the boy William kind of nailed it. I mean, that's been the best call in the last few weeks here. Unless we get investment, big investment from outside and start to compete and buying players and get what. Recruitment is paramount here the now. We've not got the financial clout the now to go and buy players to compete with Celtic the now. So what we need to do is we need to get recruitment right. But to get recruitment right and everything else, we need to have a sustainable cash injection in here, into this club. And if the parts don't seem to have the financial clout and to put into Rangers that we need, we're not talking 12, 13 million every 2 or 3 months. We actually need something in the region of 60 million, you know, into that club just to wash its face and get things right there. The club, they've managed decline. That board, not just the parts, the board have managed decline there since the day, 2020, 21. That's all they've done. And the club, it's a sad state of affairs we're in now. And something radical needs to be done with that club.
And I think it's difficult when we kind of broad brush and say, you know, the board. I mean, Patrick Stewart's new in. Fraser Thornton's the new chairman as well. And things have changed, maybe not quick enough for some people. I do accept that. John isn't wrong, Scott, but at the same time, well, every club would see their situation improved if someone could rock in and give 60 million. And that is that seriously where Rangers are at, where you just kind of hope
Rangers have spent money on players the over the last couple of years. I've spent 3, 4, 5 million pound on certain players. It's just they haven't maybe had the effect that a lot of the players at Celtic have signed on for a lesser transfer fee have had, and that ultimately comes down to not necessarily the money but the type of players that you're recruiting for the team. So there's a lot that goes into that, but there's that much of a turnover between chief execs and assistant managers leaving, sporting directors leaving. That's why they can't quite find the balance right between getting the right type of player and not necessarily throwing lots of money at it.
Simon, I suppose part of the unique landscape in Glasgow, and Rangers are the ones experiencing it right now, how can you plan long term, bigger picture, when it all falls apart if you can't get immediate success? Because John says, you know, the recruitment needs to be bang on. You need those gems. They need to be young. They need to be cheap. You need to sell them on. We've said that so often. And despite all this, maybe Rangers are onto something better than they were previously.
Yeah.
Could they sell Iggeman on for a bit of money in the future? You would think so. Bad time to mention it after he gets turned for the goal, but is Jeffy the type of player that you get in and he's young and he's cheap and you might be able to move? Could you make a bit of money off Nicholas Raskin? This is what will frustrate Philippe Clement, surely, because he thought he was kind of onto something.
Yeah.
But then the long-term planning gets blown apart because you have short-term failure at the weekend, major failure.
It's probably just, it's the nature of, I would say, Celtic and Rangers. You know, if you look across the city and your rivals are winning everything and so successful and are so far ahead, that's what the Rangers fans are concerned with. They're not concerned with Clement coming out in press conferences and talking about the odd positive result. As I said at the start of the show, I think Rangers had shown improvement, but it's taken some of their players time to bed into that setup. The other side of it as well is I look at the mentality. When Celtic are winning all the time, I know Rangers won 3-0 in the last one, but the mentality, there's certain players that have left and actually went on to do well. So is it the environment there? Is the jersey too big for them? The guys like Tillman and stuff, they've went on to play better out with Rangers. So it's finding that mentality as well, Gordon. But at the moment, they're judged on Celtic and they're miles behind. And I run a good results, I run a positive results. It only takes a game like that. Maybe that's an incredible result at the weekend against Queen's Park. It only takes that for everything to completely collapse again.
John, have you made your peace with the fact that Philippe Clement will be the manager till the end of the season?
I mean, I'm quite realistic to say, he's going to have to carry on. He's going to have to carry on, right? But if we don't get the recruitment right and bring in some financial structure in there to give him a proper hand, it's again going back here. If I was going in there to the club, the first thing I would be asking is, could you get me the person who got me Bassi, Aribo and Kamara for that kind of money? Who's scouting these boys? Do you know what I mean? we're no scouting the quality and the player, the right player to compete in football. Then okay, that's fine. Mm-hmm.
But is that's what I'm saying, Scott. That the excitement, the anticipation that Jeff Day or Igaman or Rask, I'm just throwing names, the excitement that had built up among some people that they could be the guys to do this gets blown apart when you can't beat Queen's Park or you can't even come close to winning domestic silverware.
Yeah, but I think teams who are looking at their players individually will realise that Rangers as a collective 11 on the park aren't a free-flowing football side, and there is a lot of inconsistencies there, so they can, a lot of scouts can look past that. I think, as John's talking about, there guys like Aribo and that, a lot of the guys came to Rangers because of Steven Gerrard as a manager and wanted to play under someone who was a football icon, and that does sway guys to come up and show faith and a manager, especially at a big club as well, to then use a stepping stone, which they all had done. So listen, there's lots of problems within Rangers, but recruitment should be number one on the list for me.
Thank you very much to John. Keep your calls coming. What about you, Celtic fans? How are you feeling? One of those classic challenges that we speak about where you have to go from a game the size of Bayern Munich and then go straight back very quickly to take care of the type of games that get you to the Champions League and then go out to Munich a couple of days later. How are you feeling ahead of the weekend? Get your calls in right now, please.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Watch as well as listen. Head to @ClydeSSB on X now. You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Scott Allen and Simon Donnelly are here, starting to slightly regret the plea for Valentine's poetry, Roses Are Red, to be sent in. Some are good. What I really wish people would stop doing, I think Murph has done it. I think someone else has done it as well. Who was it again? It was Nicole. You know, we refer to Hugh on here as the Specky Tube.
Yes.
Yep. And obviously that was a video that we made on here years ago.
Yep.
People keep rhyming Specky Tube with something you might want to buy to spice up your Valentine's Day.
Right, okay.
See where I'm going with that?
Yes.
And I'm going to not, please get, it's not the image anybody needs,
no.
Is it? I mean, it's dinner time for a start. And even if it wasn't, so going to drop that word that rhymes with Specky Chip. Seriously. Whatever you added to your weekly shop this week is your business and your business only and has nothing to do with Hugh Keevans. That is for sure. On that really weird note, let's go back to the phones and bring in Eric, who's on. How are you, Eric?
Good, guys.
Not bad. How are you feeling at this stage of the week, Eric? Like 5 days on or whatever we are?
It's 5 days on, but it's the weekend now, so I've finished work. But yeah, on Sunday, I was as hysterical as most Rangers supporters. I wanted everyone sacked, as I said to a producer, from the chairman down to the tea lady. A complete clear out. But the reality is, We can't clear out the club because we're financial rock bottom. So all these people are on claiming we need to get rid of the board, we need to get rid of this guy. How do you replace them? These guys are investing in the club. For example, Douglas Park, if he's got £1 million worth of shares, you don't get £1 million and buy him out. He's maybe get 8 or 9, 10 million pounds invested in the club in soft loans. So how do you clear all these debts to these board members and shareholders? You can't do it. We just have to ride with it and try and build through the current manager because there's no other option.
Yeah, listen, I think it's fair because I started to allude to that last one when people say like sack the board or whatever when they generally say it.
Yeah.
What does it really mean? Does it mean every single member of the board? You can't sack them. Who sacks them? Obviously, and then who just sort of replaces them? To be fair, Eric, it has become, it's just people's general way of saying that everything needs to change, isn't it? So I think we can kind of forgive the sentiment after a result like that one, can we not?
Well, I mean, I just heard the second half of your last call, John's call, because I was talking to a producer at the first half, mm-hmm. and he's pretty much said what I'm saying. We just have to go along with what we've got, right? If we get rid of Clement tomorrow, the new guy that comes in, so we're in debt of, if Hugh Keevans is right, £50,000 a week for the duration of his contract to Philip Clement, right? We have to pay that. I believe we're still paying Gio's team. I believe we're still paying Beale's team. So if we're still paying three ex-managers in their teams and we've got to pay a new guy, where's the investment for new players? This new guy might come in and say, don't like him, don't like him, don't like him, I can't work with him, can't work with him. At least come out and knows what he's working with.
Well, when would that end for you then, that logic? Because again, you sound fair and sensible and get it, but how long could... Do you know what I mean? There must be a tipping point eventually for Philippe Clement. So what would it look like?
It would have been Sunday if we had the cash. But we just have to... we're still in Europe. That's a straw we're clinging to. Because as everyone said, domestically we're finished for the season. Right. So do we try and get these players to show them old Rangers videos and say, this is the club you play for? It's more important. It's much more important than most clubs that you played for or you will play for, because look at the history of this club. Right? I mean, you can't go. I was at the Hamilton game when we lost in 87. I was just a wee bit too young for the Berwick game, but in progress, I watched in Mexico right, on a laptop. Right, these are all horrendous results. Right, one of the worst ones I was ever at, and maybe it'll go back a while. Hugh Keevers will remember it. Aberdeen gave us a tonking at Hampden in the League Cup semi final 5-1, and thousands were walking past me at 3-1. You know, so there are really bad results in Rangers history, and that's how it works, right? But for me, this is probably still the worst one, but we can't afford to do what we did in the past.
I think it's funny that, you know, Eric rhymes off some of the previous ones. The problem now is, and we could do a full cultural deep dive on this, but people in general, and then as an extension football fans, are nowhere near the same patience as there was for most of them.
Not at all.
Football's changed. I mean, how often do you hear this one, where a manager's under pressure and people say, Sir Alex didn't start well at Man United, and you think, like 30 years ago, like it's just so different. So I think logically, if you're calm about it, you get what Eric means, but at the same time, what on earth will week after week of negativity feel like at Ibrox for Philippe Clement, for the players, between now and the end of the season? I mean, Eric says just kind of, you know, everybody needs to grin and get on with it. How hard will that be?
Eric's talking with a bit of common sense. He is, and he's saying that they look as if they're going to try and see it out, see it through. It looks that way at the moment. I don't think there's going to be any mate, but I just, listen, growing up in the pressure of these two clubs and one of the clubs not been, I don't see how he can survive. If they go down that route, they start winning again, like after the Queen's Park game, start winning a few games again, it pacifies the fans for a wee bit.
I think it really does, though, given that, as we said, that
Eric's mentioned the European run there, so they're clinging on to that at the moment. That's a little bit there where I said they've shown a little bit of form. As Scotty says, it probably the style helps them in those type of games, but I just know that if they go to Tynecastle at the weekend and get beat, you know, all hell will break loose again.
It's like a double-edged sword for me. I think if they lost a few games and they do stick with them, it then becomes, are we now as a club accepting mediocrity? That's, I think, a lot of the fans' big worry. But at the same time, then there's a common sense in saying, well, maybe go to the end of the season and then make a decision then,
I would say, maybe.
And that's where that all comes down to the history of the club and how big the expectations are to manage and play for a team like Rangers.
I know what you mean about the finances, Eric, and I'll need to ask you where he got his 50 grand a week info that everybody's been asking me about this week. And do you want to know the honesty about that? I have to hold my hands up. I don't really remember him saying it. You guys watch. Sometimes I'm maybe having to do other things in here. I don't really remember it, but everyone was, I certainly saw it online and everyone's been asking me about it. The money side of it, Eric, is one thing, but hypothetically, right, if, because we don't know how the Rangers board truly feel, but everyone keeps saying it's financial. If you are sure you do not have the right man for the job, do you not just simply have to find the money? And you said then you don't have money to maybe recruit the next year. Should everything not be of a lesser importance than changing your manager if you know you've got the wrong manager?
Absolutely, but it's paying his wages if Hugh's right about his numbers, and then recruiting someone and tempting him to come at whatever price, unless you do recruit from within. I'm just wondering if it's all Clement's fault. Is it the coaching? Is it the guys underneath him that are coaching them badly and not motivating them properly? Because that team was not motivated on Sunday. You should be motivated whether you're playing Queen's Park or Celtic or anyone else in Europe. And that's the problem with Rangers players. They seem to think that they can turn up on a Thursday night and be brilliant, or turn up against Celtic and now and again play well. you have to do that in every game, which Celtic seem to be good at doing. And of course, the barometer is Celtic at the moment, and we compare ourselves to Celtic. So this is where we have to look from within our attitude to football.
It's, you can totally get why people keep saying that they believe it's financial, or because Patrick Stewart's saying it's not that, it's just there's a wider, you know, there's this football review going on.
You can't say that, though, can you?
There's a lot of course, yeah, and I acknowledge that. Because I think his position in this is interesting. If you're the new CEO and you come in, it's verging on an open goal amongst the Rangers fans to be the guy that comes in as the new CEO, recognises the mood, and makes managerial change. So for whatever reason, he's decided not to do that. And I think he's reflected that before, where he said that would be the easy choice, sort of thing. It's kind of like the obvious choice just now.
The obvious choice, yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Sometimes when a new CEO arrives, you think, oh, he's going to make his mark. And he's having to... To cop a lot of flack already.
Yeah, it would be an open goal when you'd give the fans...
Him and the new chairman seem to be hiding. They should come out on Monday and made their opinions clear and said, this is unacceptable, but we will work through it. But they've been forced to maybe come out today, Patrick Stewart, and say something. These guys are at the helm of the club. These guys have to speak on Monday, not Friday.
Yeah, he hasn't spoken, to be fair, either. It was just Philippe Clement, and I think the comments from Patrick Stewart that came out yesterday were minutes from a fan advisory board meeting that actually took place, you know, before Queen's Park. But
yeah, for me, I don't think he's going to cover himself in glory if he comes out and says, listen, financially, no matter what the implications are of the team's performance on the pitch and what results look like, we can't sack him because of the amount of money his contract is worth. That he just cannot say that.
Thank you to Eric in Paisley. It's that time of the night where we play this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Come on then, it is Beat the Pundit time. It's your chance. Just put your romance on hold. Just for a minute, it shouldn't get in the way too much. And you can play Beat the Pundit against Scott Allen or Simon Donnelly. You get 30 seconds. I'm offering you the chance of 30 seconds of joy on Valentine's Day. Do not pass it up. 01419511025. Your chance to beat the pundit is next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboards. Watch as well as listen. Check out the Clyde One Facebook page now. Taking your calls on Scottish football. 01419511025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Scott Allen and Simon Donnelly are here. It's 01419511025. That's the number that you need. So do give us a call. Let us know what you're thinking tonight. We've done plenty on Philippe Clement, and we can continue that if you so wish. What about you Celtic fans? Right in between two games against Bayern Munich, what are you thinking about this weekend and how the squad should be used, and your early thoughts about trying to balance it up and go back to Munich on Tuesday? So get your calls in. We'll play this first.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Right, it is Beat the Pundit time. Nicola is on. How are you, Nicola?
I'm not too bad, thanks. How's yourself?
All good, Nicola. All good. Are we 5 minutes out your nice Valentine's night to play Beat the Pundit?
Yes, of course.
Good. That's someone with their priorities in the right order, I have to say.
Oh, of course.
Did
of
you
course.
Know...
And good night. Sorry, good evening to Simon and Scott as well.
Hi, Nicola.
Hi, Nicola.
Hi.
Did you know that the questions tonight are all Valentine's themed?
Oh.
Yeah. Oh, no.
Don't get me wrong, they're still like...
football.
They're not about Valentine's Day. They're just a nice wee theme there. So if it's heads, Nicola, it will be Scott Allen. If it's tails, it will be Simon Donnelly. And it's heads, Scott Allen.
Oh, good luck, Scott.
You too.
Why did you just put your head in your hands? You don't fancy this?
I fancy it. Let's go.
Get ropey form. 5 wins, 3 defeats. It's too close for comfort, that. You ready? Let's give Scott something else to listen to whilst we get Nicola's clock ready. Nicola, 30 seconds. Answer as many as you can and pass if you do not know the answer, okay?
Okay, okay.
Right, let's do it then. Your 30 seconds on the clock and your time starts now. Zach Lovelace has left Rangers to join which club?
Millwall.
In what year were Hearts founded, 1874 or 1876?
74.
What nationality is Peter Lovenkrantz?
Danish.
Who's squad number 14 at Celtic?
Pass.
St Mirren's former stadium was found on which Paisley Street?
Love Street.
Which League 2 side has a flower on their badge?
The Broth.
Okay. Let's bring in Scott Allen. Can you hear us?
What's going on there?
Oh, I thought you could hear me. I'm forgetting you couldn't hear me either.
I was listening to Lionel Richie. If
you, Lancer on the ceiling.
I was just wondering if you were enjoying the Valentine's puns.
Telling me off for tapping my fingers.
Are you ready?
Yeah, let's go.
Same set of questions. Your time starts now. Zach Lovelace has left Rangers to join which club?
Millwall.
In what year were Hearts founded? 1874 or 1876?
74.
What nationality is Peter Lovenkrantz?
Danish.
Who has the squad number 14 at Celtic?
Pass.
St Mirren's former stadium was found on which Paisley Street?
Love Street.
Which League 2 side has a flower on their badge?
Bonnie Rigg Rose.
Joe Hart signed for Celtic in which year?
2021.
True or false, Valentine Nwabili is a Nigerian international player?
Great false question.
That's the most random question we've ever had. Nicola, how do you think it went?
Well done, Scott. That's
that was pretty
Nicola,
strong.
Nicola, I thought you were good.
Well, as you do.
I thought Nicola was all right. Zach Lovelace, Millwall. Nicola got it, so did you. 1874, Scott got it, so did Nicola.
Love it.
Lovenkrantz is Danish.
Both got it.
Fine, what a
strong
game.
Start.
None of you knew 14, it's the 14th, etc.
McCown.
Luke McCown is the number 14. You both knew Love Street. So we are four each after five questions. It's a very high standard. Which League 2 side has a flower on their badge? It is Bonnie Rigg Rose, of course. Scott Allen goes in front and then he rounds it off. Joe Hart signed for Celtic 2021. Nicola was out of time. And apparently Valentin Nwabili is a Nigerian international. So you got it wrong. You can't go for the 10. You lost your perfect record, but you did win by 6-4. Congratulations.
Good performance from Nicola.
Nicola, I thought that was all right, though. Yep, you'd be happy with a 4, would you?
Well, thank you very much. I've played Matt Wilson before.
Oh, how did that go?
He bet me 4-3.
Oh, well, see, you've got one more this time, you've got 4. So next time, you'll come on and get a 5 and you'll scoosh it. You fancy that?
I scoosh it with a dazzler, aye.
Yeah, exactly. That sounds a bit easy. Are you a Celtic fan, Nicola?
I certainly am, yes.
Do you hold out any hope of going and causing a wee upset in Munich?
Hoping so. Hoping the confidence comes from Parkhead over there.
Mm-hmm.
So obviously, we're away from home, so it's kind of a man down. But
do you have to rest players for it this weekend?
We can do it. Oh, our players don't need rest.
Some of them don't, to be fair. But the does. Anyway, thank you to Nicola.
Here, listen. That boy could sell Duracell batteries.
I saw some stats there. They've disappeared off my screen, so forgive me if I'm slightly out, but it's something. It's like official kind of Champions League stats. So there's been nine match days. Would that be right? Yeah.
Yep.
There's been nine match days. He has been in either first or second for total sprints on 6 of those match days. I think 3 times he's been first, 3 times he's been second. This is the entire competition.
See the intensity he was actually sprinting that in the 88th minute. It's we've all been
The best bit was when they won the appeal and Brendan Rodgers says, I've played them in the last 3 games. It doesn't matter.
Surely, even him, and I take Nicola's point.
Tomorrow,
he'll be one that will get the rest tomorrow, will he not?
I'm really interested to see what team plays tomorrow, but he's a goal machine at the moment.
I know. I just
might bring him on.
He won't start, will he?
Jota, Ida,
Yang.
Yeah.
Yang's did well in the last 2 games.
So Kyo will be happy.
Jota, Ida, Yang. That seem a bit.
Ed will just be running up and down the.
Because you're trying to strike that balance tomorrow, aren't you? Where
of course.
You're not going to like.
I sat on the show last Friday and I said it's a huge loss, arguably bigger than likes of Kyogo moving on, Maeda out that game. So for them to get him back in was brilliant. Obviously, next to goal. Yeah, you probably need to be cautious for Tuesday.
Yeah, I think he'll go Jota, Ida, Yang obviously off the back of the Rafe Rovers performance and then followed up on Wednesday night with a good cameo. Jota as well looked very, very lively, so Celtic should have enough in their depth to get over the line.
Because you know the ones that are kind of likely, like based on his history, is Cameron Carter-Vickers the type that would start a middle game sandwiched in between two Champions League games against Bayern? You know, the ones that you really are set on, kind of like Anthony Ralston come in for Johnson, these are the likely changes you would make, isn't it, on a game like tomorrow?
Yeah, but I think did he make nine for the Raith Rovers? Yes.
Schlupp might come in play.
Schlupp for Taylor.
Yep. Yeah, he might come in. He might come in. Really interested to see the team tomorrow, just with, because the game's Tuesday, isn't it?
It's Tuesday. It's quite a tight turnaround. Let's hear from Brendan Rodgers on that theme. Keep your calls coming in just now, Celtic fans. How are you feeling about that? The kind of juggling act and going from one to the other? I'm sure you'll want to go 16 points clear. It's not that that's not a priority. Before Rangers try and get the chance to respond on Sunday, Brendan Rodgers says the fixture list has been tough for the club as they prepare to return to the Premiership this weekend.
The schedule's been unrelenting for us for a long period now. You know, you go back, you know, we look at the games we're playing in September, October, and then it's cranked up over sort of November, December, January, you know, into February now. And so it's been a real unrelenting schedule, but the players have been brilliant. It's not the case of you won't be tired. You will have moments of tiredness, but that's been at a big club. I said to Arne Engels when he came in at the beginning that his one game a week holiday was finished at Augsburg. You're coming into now a big club where there's no holidays here, and he now knows what I was talking about. So he and all the players have been absolutely brilliant. It's been a top player as managing the fatigue, managing the tiredness, because you got to deliver, and that's the notion of being at a big club. Otherwise, you go and you play one game a week, and it's quite nice.
Charlie's on the line. What's on your mind tonight, Charlie?
Hi, Gordon. How are you doing, guys?
Good, thank you.
My point was about how Maeda was all better, universally accepted as Celtic were better when he was through the middle the other night. But he started on the wing to gain cover against the full-backs. But my question to the panel, who probably not, no doubt, know a lot more about tactics than me, could Celtic have started Maeda through the middle if they'd played a different formation? Maybe the same as Dortmund, the 4-2-3-1. Could they have played Maeda in the middle there? My point about Ida, when Ida was up front, so Celtic, Ida was good at the previous couple of league games, and he was pressing the ball, and I said that to my partner. I says, he's up to his game, he's pressing. He was noticeably running at the keeper. But during the game, Dortmund game, the front three weren't pressing. They were just chasing the fresh air. They were moving in a formation side to side and clearly not pressing. And
at what point, Charlie, though, at what point do we have to acknowledge that pressing Raith Rovers or pressing Dundee is easier than pressing Bayern Munich? Yeah.
He's trying to press. When the key to pressing is Celtic do it to a lot of teams, obviously domestically. The length of time that Bayern Munich had the time for spells, especially in that first half, it takes the sting out of the press, and that's why they start to drop off and then plug the gap so they can't be played through. And that's when you've seen Bayern Munich going down the sides, and Celtic up until the last minute of the first half, they defended their box really well. That's ultimately what happens sometimes when you come up against a top European side. So either I thought was a bit hard done too with some of the comments after the game. I felt, especially in the first half, Celtic were suffocated from Bayern Munich. Their press was absolutely perfect. Can you change the formation? Yes, you probably could, but you also want to carry the threat in the Champions League games, which has helped you in previous games. Ultimately, you've just come up against, in football, there is such thing as levels, and I think that was one of the things you seen from the other night.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. For the first part of that game, first half, just into the second half, Bayern Munich showed what they're all about, the qualities that they can bring to the table. You can sit here and discuss tactics all night, but as Scotty says there, when they can keep the ball so well and move it and look so comfortable, it's a shift. Now, you ask any team that comes to Celtic Park, most weeks they have to do that shift against Celtic, but you have to acknowledge you're in the Champions League. It's another level up. And he's tweaked it. Brendan Rodgers has tweaked it. As I say, Ida does brilliantly down at Aston Villa, gets two goals. He deserves to be playing there again. But then Brendan obviously sees as the game develops, right, I'm going to shift Dyson into the middle. Of course, they reap the benefits. He starts putting pressure on people. That's not to say he got it wrong for the start. That's just the way the game gets managed throughout 90 minutes. It'll be really interesting to see how they set up over there.
Would you like to see Maeda through the middle over in Munich, Charlie? And if so, does that mean he gets a rest tomorrow? I know everyone says he doesn't need one, but...
Well, I think he's got to start through the middle. He can't go with the same game plan because he's now showed that game plan. I think he's got to change it somehow, and he's got to go with Maeda through the middle. As for Maeda resting tomorrow, he may well do, but you know what? He's got days in between to rest. A competitive match is a workout, and that's maybe the way he's looking at it. This guy's just designed to run. Some people are...
Charlie, just a quick one for me. See, in terms of a fan and you turning on the TV or whether you're going to the game next Tuesday, how would you want to see your Celtic team set up against that Bayern Munich side?
I would like to see his go for it from the start, and I would like to see Maeda. I would like to see, change the system. He's never... Brendan Rodgers has been off a rigid with the 4-3-3. I would like to see his grow, take a chance on one more step of growth, change the system for one game, put a wee man up front and go all out. That's what I would like to see. Jota on the left, Kuna on the right. And you know what? You could have Ida sitting behind Maeda. Maybe even if it comes on, maybe you want to play a more mobile midfielder to start, and that three that's behind the front one. But you could bring Ida on, and it could have an effect. It could have an effect. And then you could have two of them. There's a place for having two of them. Not one on the wing. And then you've not got Maeda on the wing, either wing. You've got two of them between the sticks at that point, and Ida running on you, and Maeda running after him. I think that's a great system. I would have that.
Are we getting a bit hung up sometimes on formations? Because if there was two that would be very close to each other, it would be 4-2-3-1 and 4-3-3.
Yeah,
kind of very, very similar. And especially if you don't have...
I'm not saying there's no difference, but
you can still play the current system and have Dyson Maeda through the middle. That's how... And the other point about Charlie's kind of element of surprise, saying, well, he'll need to do that because Rodgers has shown his hand on the other system. If I was Bayern, I'd now expect Dyson Maeda to play through the middle, yeah, because he showed that as well, because that's the way they finished the game and that's the way they had their strongest period in the match, isn't it?
Listen, they could go either way. I think at that level, pace is so valuable, and Maeda's got it in abundance. So I wouldn't be too concerned if Brendan decided to play him through the middle. Again, it's not to say that he got the tactics wrong and he showed... to start, Ida deserved to start that game, but listen, Maeda's taken his game to another level recently, adding goal after goal, and I think the two centre backs would be concerned with that sort of work rate and pressure. But you're going over to the Allianz Arena, you're going to be defending a lot as well,
and it's not easy, is it? They're acting like you just need to make these tweaks, because as an example, the onus is on Celtic, because they need to go and win the game. But once you take Maeda there, and everyone's focusing on what Jota can do in the ball, and rightly so, but you're now asking Jota to chase that absolute flying machine of a right back.
Yep.
Jota could spend...
That Bayern Munich have.
Most of the game.
Defending. 80% of the game, yeah, running back and doubling up.
I just think with Maeda, you've got something there that if you can get that break, he will capitalise on it with forcing a mistake or getting on the end of something. We've seen him, I think he was playing through the middle for Japan at the World Cup. Listen, everybody knows Maeda. He works his socks off.
But he's also, this season above all, way more than just a pest. You know, there were times in the past where people thought, well, look.
But they're the traits in his game which are now allowing him to expand his game and make him a better player. He's always an outball because of that pace.
Thank you very much to Charlie. Let's hear from Brendan Rodgers. He says he will make changes for tomorrow's game as he tries to manage that unrelenting schedule.
Yeah, well, I think we'll do what we've done most of the season. There's some positions that we'll freshen up, that we maybe need it. And, of course, you can't not look at Tuesday because the turnaround is so fast, and we know that we'll have to be at a real high level physically for that game. But I also know the bread and butter, we need to be at a good physical level for this game. You know, since the last time Dundee United played, we've played 4 games. In that period, you know, the last time they played was the 1st of February. And since then, we've played four games.
I mean, Right on cue, I'm asking for your Valentine's poetry. Katie says, roses are red, violets are blue. If you have the ball, Dyson's coming for you. There we go. That works. That's okay. They don't all have to insult the pundits, which although there are many of them.
Go on, give us a few.
As well. Hugh Keevan says, he's even sent his own in. He says, roses are red, my feet were nifty. I got Janet flowers, £2.50. Brackets, true, he says. Hope she's not listening. A man of his means, £2.50, honestly, outrageous.
He's not messed with the numbers this week, has he?
No, exactly. He's all across his figures this week, so he's good to see he's spending his Valentine's Day listening as well, I'm sure. I'm sure Mrs. Keevans knows the drill.
Oh, in that other room with the new telly.
He's got his new telly, that's yeah. Right. Murph says, roses are red, Gordon DL goes to the gym. If this is the case, why isn't he thin?
He will not like that.
At all. He will not like it whatsoever. And I don't mind a bit of gentle jibing at your rivals in this city. I mean, some of the stuff's gone way beyond gentle. But Green Onions says, roses are red, the bears are blue, Big Phil's here for years, he's got big wages due. So there we go. On that note, we'll stop for breath and you can give us a call next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Watch as well as listen. Head to @ClydeSSB on X now. Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Simon Donnelly and Scott Allen are here. Still plenty of time for you to give them a call on the usual number. Send them a tweet, whether that's your thoughts on today's big talking points, predictions for the weekend, your roses are red Scottish football poetry. We will take the lot. We've even gone the full way and got your Valentine's Day themed teaser from Michael and East Kilbride. I say Valentine's, it's really just hearts themed.
Right, okay,
which, yeah, kind of ticks that box. Since 1999, he says, can you name the last eight players to move permanently from Celtic or Rangers to Hearts? So the last eight who've gone from Celtic or Rangers to Hearts. There are a couple on here outrageously difficult.
Ian Black?
No.
Andy Halliday?
Yes, our very own Andy Halliday. Yep.
Kyle Lafferty?
Nope. Is that it? Is that what we're getting?
Craig Gordon.
Yes, Craig Gordon. We can leave it there for now, because I think that's a fair start. And don't forget, if you want to submit your questions, just like Michael and East Kilbride has done tonight, the address you need is fulltime@clyde1.com. So Celtic or Rangers, two Hearts. I was a bit worried about Lafferty, but he did it the other way round.
Can I give you another one?
Go on then.
Mahi.
Yes, Stefan Mahi. Well done. Right, that's three down. Five more to get. We'll get them before the end of the show. Richard's on the line. How are you, Richard? Is Richard not on the line? I thought he was. Never mind. That might well be my mistake. Keep the calls coming either way. Whilst we do try and get Richard, I think he is there. I'll try and get him back. Oh, I don't know. He's a man of mystery on Valentine's Day. He's flirting with me. He's there. He's
tricky,
playing hard to get.
Nicky.
Because he was there. He was interested for a minute. Now he's not. Then he might be back. Wait and see if we can get him on. Anything else to bring you whilst we try and get Richard back? Nah, nothing. I don't know where he's gone. Where have you gone? He's playing hide and seek with us as well. Give us a call back, Richard, if you're listening. If not, we'll try and get another call lined up. So Celtic against Dundee United tomorrow. That's the game we were talking about just before the break, talking about the schedule and what the squad looks like. Are there any others? What did we say? Geoffrey Schlupp, you reckon? That's a good chance to start him in a league game.
He's looked quite composed when he's come in and the brief time that he's been at the club. But yeah, he might get a chance tomorrow. Ralston maybe back in. Be interesting.
I don't think Jim Goodwin or anyone else's heart is going to bleed for Celtic when they've got like one injury and maybe two if you add James Forrest. But Paolo Bernardo been out for 5 weeks. That's another. I mean, this would be the type of game that he would then come in and play. So it's a blow in that regard.
Yeah, maybe a McEwen came
McEwen,
in.
Yeah,
I think he's been impressive when he has played. Yeah, picked up some really good areas in the last game.
It just kind of means two of the others who started the start, doesn't it?
Yeah, but listen, that's obviously with Bernardo's injury, that obviously takes one of these spaces away. Cal McGregor, I'd fully expect to play, hardly misses a game. Hatate maybe would have once rested, so it'll be interesting.
Thomas is on. How are you, Thomas?
How you doing, Clyburne?
Good, thank you, Thomas. What's your point tonight?
My point is for Simon Donnelly. Simon, if you're laughing, think Celtic would turn this second tie over against Bayer.
Can they do it, Simon?
They can do it. It's going to be really tough. Really tough. I think, as I said earlier on, they responded well, because when Kane gets it to 2-0, you kind of feel that the tie might run away from Celtic. But I thought Celtic really rallied after that, came back into it, got the goal. They had a wee issue with the penalty. But I think the objective before a ball was kicked the other night was to take something to Munich. They're going to obviously travel in their numbers, the fans again. You cling on to that wee bit of hope, but it's Bayern Munich who are top notch. It'll be a difficult one.
What do you think, Thomas?
The second half, Celtic came out and played kind of penned them in. And I think Celtic's got a good chance.
It's amazing, Thomas, actually, because way games can go, especially in Europe, when you get a goal or you get something that gets the fans excited, and then all of a sudden there's, you know, Celtic get a goal and there's shots blocked and Hatate's picking up areas, and the sway of the game changed a wee bit. But you have to acknowledge the first hour or so, you know, Bayern were very strong.
I said this almost it's the same conversation before the game, Scott. There's nothing wrong with optimism. I think it should be encouraged, and clearly anything can happen. We found that out here just on Sunday.
Yep.
But a few people say, you know, a good chance. That's a real level of confidence, just because of, I think, the level that you're up against.
A good chance of beating Bayern Munich.
Yeah. I mean, to describe it as a good chance, there are some glass half full people.
You need a lot of things to go in your favour, like, for instance, getting the early goal and it not obviously being offside. So if that was the case, then Celtic don't need to go hell for leather straight away. But as soon as that happened, Bayern Munich just managed the game so well.
I think that took the wind out of sales a wee bit as well. The way the fans reacted, and then quickly
it was cancelled
out. It was flat quite quickly. Everybody was.
And see, in terms of atmosphere, and obviously Celtic using Celtic Park to be that 12th man and energise their squad, the way that Bayern Munich played in terms of on the ball and the patience they had, it just sucked the soul out of everybody.
I mean, for this next game though, you know, I don't mind it. I'm not mocking Thomas for it, but I'm impressed that Celtic are trailing in the tie, going to Bayern Munich, and it's described as a good chance of getting through. Do you know what I mean? It feels like the odds are really against them. Not to say they can't do it.
Not to say they can't do it, but again, you need everything to go in your favour. Someone we could maybe get sent off, the game swings, but ultimately Celtic would need to have their best defensive performance of the season to go to the Allianz and pick up a result for me.
Thank you, Thomas. I think we've got Richard back. Hiya, how are you, Richard?
Hiya, you alright?
Got you, Richard, now. What are you thinking?
It was to do with Greg Taylor, and it's not the ricochet off his knee or his body shape, and it came to the first goal that Bayern scored, but in the last minute of that first half, Greg Taylor had the ball, and I heard Mark Wilson say last night, and I think he might have been talking about at the point of the ricochet, but he said he didn't have options. He did have options. He could have played. So this is like just into the 44th minute. He could have played the ball to Engels. He could have played it to Trusty. He could have played it to Schmeichel. But he tried to play the ball up to Maeda, and he put the ball at the park. And they got a throw-in, and they worked it to their centre-half, who then put the diagonal across, which led to the ricochet off Greg Taylor, and then it went to the goal. Now that was all, and they scored with 5 seconds to go in that half. I just think, and I don't like having a go at him, because I think he's a really good player for us in the domestic league, but kind of over and over again he's not Champions League.
Scott?
Yeah, listen, I think we're talking about Champions League and the level of opposition you are playing, it can be a step too far for some players. I think in terms of physicality, as Simon touched on earlier, playing against guys like that with the speed and the power that they do have, it's going to be difficult for Greg Taylor to kind of impose his presence on the game. So in saying that, you want him to be really tidy on the ball and defend as well as he can, and I do feel he gives everything. I just feel that doesn't make you not a good Celtic player. It just means that when you're up at that level of game against that level of opposition, it might just be a step too far, and that's maybe what you're seeing at that kind of level of football with Greg Taylor. There's been games in the Champions League because of the new format where he's been excellent. He's been a real powerhouse going forward, and his use of the ball has been excellent. But when you're then asking him to come up against the best of the best, sometimes for some players it might just be a step too far. But that doesn't mean that he's not good enough to play for Celtic, because he has shown that over the years. He's had some really good performances domestically for sure, and at times this season in the Champions League.
Well, you're tested more at that level, and that's all the defenders. Mm-hmm. They're all tested because you're playing against a higher level. To pick out that actual period of play, it's unfortunate, because it's not like Greg Taylor to misplace a pass out and then takes it back, and you know, it goes back to the crossfield pass, and it's one of the ones. It's hard to kind of pin that on.
We can't
Greg
really
Taylor.
Blame players for giving throw-ins away, really, can we? In
and
the context of how often it happens.
Yeah. So I think they are tested more. He seems to come under a lot of criticism, maybe a wee bit unfair. You look at the second goal where, you know, the guy on the park is the last person you would want to give that sort of space to in the 6-yard box, Harry Kane.
And
but he kind of focuses on Greg Taylor for the first goal.
Yeah, we've not heard any personal blame for that, which is fine, because I'm not saying you should always do it. Alistair Johnson's been brilliant for Celtic, but
you look at the results
as well,
Gordon,
out with
the doing against Dortmund, the results have been pretty good. They've been pretty good, and Greg Taylor's played in the games. As I say, as Scott's saying there, you're going to get tested more against this opposition, and you know that's where they have to stand up and be counted.
Is this not the wider point, Richard? This not the kind of difficult place Celtic find themselves in when they've got that domestic dominance versus trying to take the next step? Because in the most general sense, your point is Greg Taylor's not at Bayern Munich's level, which doesn't really sound like much of a criticism, does it?
That's not the point. I know the guys are saying about physical abilities, but that was a decision.
Given a throw-in away, though?
He had the ball. And actually, it wasn't the first time he'd done it in the game.
No.
He tried that pass about three times before, maybe twice, but two or three times before, and they all went out the park.
But at the same time, Richard, Greg Taylor...
At that point of the game, and he'll know what point of the game it is, just play it safe. Just... Look, I don't want to have a go at him, because I actually really love Greg Taylor. I want him to stay at the club, and so it's not me having it. Well, I'm trying not to have a go at him, but you can't argue with what you see in front of you.
There's a lot leading up to that goal, though. You know, for Richard to say, don't try and make that pass in the 44th or 45th minute, which is...
It was the 44th.
Right,
the 44th minute.
For you to say don't play it safe, he might have thought he was playing it safe. He's misplaced a pass, it's went out the park. I watched the goal coming in. If Elise doesn't release a shot which is out of this world into the top corner, it's, you know, Celtic are only going in 1-0 down at half time. It's a remarkable goal, but it's a wee bit harsh to trace it back to that play half a minute before.
Is there a wider point here, Richard, then? Is this about, you know, generally how Celtic fans see Greg Taylor? Because as we said about the two goals, why is there far more criticism of Greg Taylor for the first than there is of Alistair Johnson for the second, despite Alistair Johnson's part being much worse than Greg Taylor's was?
I was just about to say that Alistair Johnson's not immune from criticism, because unless something changed at half time, a different instruction, then Alistair Johnson was picking up Harry Kane. And he left them. Right, so unless something changed at half time, and in Greg Taylor's defence, maybe he was told to play that ball all the time, because Greg Taylor normally goes inside, and the safest pass was inside, but he didn't do it. So I'm only like talking about what I've seen, and I'm not having a go at Greg Taylor. I really do like him as a player, but it's quite consistent on that side.
Fair enough. Everyone's entitled to their opinion, as we say. Good wee debate anyway. Thank you to Richard from Livingston on that one. Right, since it's Valentine's Day, since 1999, can you name the last eight players to move permanently from Celtic or Rangers to Hearts? It had to be Hearts on a day like this. You've got Craig Gordon, Andy Halliday, Stefan Mahé.
Oh. You're looking at me.
Barry McKay, but I don't know.
Nah, I went a few in between. There are a few from your era, Simon. Oh, there's one you should definitely get. You should 100% get one of these. The blame
is there another goalkeeper in there?
The blame is all off Scott Allen for me on this one. I think you absolutely have to get this.
It's a lot of pressure.
Mm-hmm.
So it's obviously Celtic to Hearts.
It is in 1999.
I thought I was doing well with Stefan Mahé as well.
The depth of my criticism on this maybe extends even further to just being, it's not even that it's just a Celtic player, it's the one that you should really know.
Oh, that's horrible when he does that.
On a personal and professional level.
Oh, an absolute
striker.
Dan Jackson.
Darren Jackson.
Oh, for God's sake. He said indeed. That many moves.
I don't blame him. It's your fault. Okay, we'll get Darren the rest. plenty more discussion ahead of the weekend when we return.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Watch as well as listen. Check out our YouTube stream now. Tackle the headlines. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Quick show tonight. We're in the final part with Scott Allen and Simon Donnelly. So do keep your calls coming on 0141 951 1025, and you can tweet us as well at Clyde SSB if you want to put anything across, whether it is building up to the games this weekend, whether it is looking back maybe on the Champions League. We've done a bit of that so far tonight, and your Valentine's poetry as well. I think Green Onions has got it in for Philippe Clement.
Has he produced another one?
Yeah, but they're all in quite good taste. I don't mind it. It's just a bit of gentle humour. He says, roses are red, Big Phil's heels are Cuban, he's digging them in because he ain't for moving. Okay, I don't know, doesn't quite work.
Trying too hard, Green Onions.
I think that the other one was good. What else have we got here? Anything I can read? Not really. Roses are red, violets are blue. Remember that caller that called his Wayne Hugh? Remember that? I don't know if he actually did in the end, but we were excited at the prospect of it a few months ago. Anyway, right, how are you doing with your teaser? Did you get any during the break? Can you name the, since 1999, eight players have moved permanently from Celtic or Rangers to Hearts? Craig Gordon, Andy Halliday, Stefan Mahé, Darren Jackson. That's what you've got so far.
Niemi
before the break.
The goalkeeper, Antti Niemi.
Yes. Don't say it. No finish. Don't say it. Don't say it. Okay, three to get. I'm going, I'll go era for you. I'm going, yeah, go one era. There's one from your era, Simon.
Right.
There's one from probably your sort of era, Scott Allen.
Paul Ritchie.
No. And one that's extremely difficult, like verging on impossible for you two, anyway. No offence.
The one from Myra?
Yeah, I'd say so. Maybe, I mean, he'll be older than you, but you must have crossed over with this guy.
What position?
Defender.
The guy from Myra is a defender?
No, the guy for your era is a striker.
Striker.
Okay, we can get back to it. What else is tickling your fancy tomorrow? I think you could make this case for a few, by the way, so don't let me put words in your mouth, but Dundee Aberdeen. How big?
Sorry,
you're still thinking
about
still
the teaser there.
How big is that?
For which team?
Both. That's both, the point.
Yeah. Both of them. Yeah.
Yeah, it's huge. Obviously, Aberdeen got back to winning ways in the Scottish Cup at the weekend. Ultimately, they need to get back to winning games in the league. Dundee, obviously, starting to drop down the table. They're in massive need of a win, so at this stage, I honestly couldn't call it.
Because, I mean, the implications leads us on to another massive game. If Ross County were to go to Motherwell, who don't have a manager, they're not in brilliant form, if Ross County were to go there and win, and Dundee were to lose against Aberdeen, mm-hmm, Dundee would find themselves in the, you know, in the relegation playoff. It's also, if Aberdeen don't start winning, it's the last weekend really that they'll cling on to fourth. You know, yeah, people keep saying it. I mean, yeah, they're still fourth. They're still fourth. They're still fourth. They won't be fourth if they lose and Hibs go and win in Paisley on Sunday. So it feels like for both that one is
it's a huge game. It's a huge game. I remember looking at the table last week and being surprised that Dundee had slipped down there. I know it's really tight. Bad result against Hearts. Then they followed that up with Celtic Park, obviously bounced back. Aberdeen, I'm unsure about Aberdeen. I think Dundee might take that one. I think Dundee at home might just sneak that.
Because it was never going to be as automatic as the previous round in the cup. Aberdeen beat Elgin. With due respect, it was Elgin, so it was never automatically going to be a sign that something had sparked. They've stepped up a slight level and done the same to Dunfermline. Is that the start of something?
Yeah, I don't think they were particularly great in the game. I did watch it. I thought that they still looked a bit fragile in defence. It's whether Dundee, who also have been leaking goals, can, it's going to be the battle of who defends better on the day for me, who'll come away with the points, unless it ends up in a draw. But honestly, I couldn't call it between the two of them.
Because again, we go back to these in isolation. Aberdeen go to Dens, draw a game, fine. If it's a one-off, it's not exactly the end of the world.
Just
but it,
on,
but it
yeah,
is. If it's the game in the 14, 15 without...
They could really do a win, but I don't know. I'm just leaning towards Dundee. I just feel the two...
Tony Dock produced something.
The two results were out of sorts. You could easily go to Celtic Park and get turned over like that. The Hearts one was a surprise. Big game at Dens.
Similarly, Motherwell, Ross County, let's even forget the managerial situation for a second. Motherwell are in 6th, Ross County are in 11th. That sounds like there's a mile between the sides. If Ross County were to go there and win, they would be 2 points behind. That in itself is obviously a huge incentive. Now let's bring the managerial thing back in. You surprised there's no announcement yet?
Yeah, I would be. I think that's now verging on 3 weeks. 3 weeks and they're not had a manager in. Yeah, listen, Ross County, they have produced results throughout the season. Motherwell as well. Obviously, Lennon Miller, I think, is back involved, which is obviously a big plus from then. Might galvanise them. But like you said, they can go within 2 points. I think even as the season progresses, that between 7th and 11th, that could change very quickly between teams who are in 4th, 5th and 6th.
Yeah, even looking at Aberdeen down to the county, there's 9 points. That isn't a lot between those sides.
I suppose though, Motherwell have that continuity. It's a bit different. It's not like a manager's been sacked due to bad results, Simon, but then to some fans it kind of feels that way, in the sense they weren't happy with the form before.
Yeah,
but they weren't properly in sacking form, and obviously Stuart Kettle well chose
to still been in
to
the
walk
right
away.
Half of the league as well. Am I right in saying Miller's
it's just
back?
Over 2 weeks, by the way, not quite 3 yet, okay. But not
am I right in saying Lennon Miller's
yes
back fit? So yeah, huge boost for Motherwell. You win your home games, especially with those teams round about. I know it's there's 4 or 5 positions between them, but not a lot of points. You need to win your home games.
Yeah, but it's the type of game that, Scott, that not quite becomes season defining, but there was a guy that criticised Hugh the other night for using the phrase watershed moment.
Yeah.
There's been this argument all season about where Motherwell are, and when Stuart Kettlewell was getting stick, everybody said, oh, they're still 5th, they're 4th, they're fine, and it's fine, and it's fine, and it's fine. And fans sort of felt that they could see a slide coming. If you get to this point and you lose a home game to Ross County, symbolically on the individual game, and then what it does to the league table, it probably does tell you that you're actually in.
Yeah,
you're definitely in it.
And I think if they do lose, looking at other fixtures there, and if some wins don't go, some results don't go their way, they could slip.
They could drop.
Yeah, they could really slip, and that then. They obviously would look to bring in a manager in, and then it's obviously firefighting to try and get pick up some form again. So all the fixtures have a massive implication of how the league's going to look
in the
next couple of weeks.
Killy St Johnston,
the bottom team, have won their last 2 games.
Yep,
4 in all competitions.
Yeah,
because the 2 cup wins in there. So yep. Again, I've done the doomsday scenario for Motherwell, but obviously flip that on its head. Motherwell win at Fir Park, St Johnston win, and all of a sudden the team that everybody had buried are just 2 points behind. So I get the feeling that these games are all taking on real importance.
It's great for us on the outside looking in, but it's terrible if you keep seeing, if you're at a County or a Dundee on the back of the 2 heavy defeats, and you keep seeing St Johnstone, who we're a bit of a distance away. They're getting closer and closer. I say it's good for the running for us on the outside looking in. A lot of pressure, and you could throw, you know, over that group there. There's not a lot between them.
Let's go back to Sunday, because we've been speaking about the wider picture really for Rangers, Scott, but it should be a game that we can all look forward to. Tynecastle always is, and yes, Rangers go there, and the opening day of the season actually was that 0-0, but a pretty good 0-0. You could say it set the tone for Rangers away form this season, but a lot has changed since the sides met on the opening day.
Yeah, well, listen, Hearts, looking at Hearts there, obviously sitting in seventh at the moment, if they were to win another result, they would then climb up to the top six. There has been much, they've been much improved since obviously the signings came in. Neil Critchley obviously finally finding his feet, and I think they'll look at Rangers and they will smell a bit of blood. If they can put them under pressure, there will be opportunities for them to win this game. Rangers, on the other hand, with the pressures that come with last week's defeat, the pressure that the manager and some of the players are under, it is a game where they're in the change of day. The Rangers players will know that on no uncertain terms they have to win on Sunday, so it makes for a fantastic game.
It's incredible how much can change within a season. I was looking at the teams from that opening day, even from Hearts. Xander Clark started in goal, he won't start this time. Kai Rowles is gone. They've got, you know, Kenneth Vargas started, I doubt he will. Barry Mackay started. Barry Mackay's not even been in match day squads for a long time. Rangers, you know, Ben Davis started, isn't there anymore. Kieran Dill, come on, not there anymore. Yilmaz started, he won't start. Cortez started, Barron started, Scott Wright started, Tom Warren, Cyril Dessers. So a lot of changes within a season. But anyway, back to the teaser to finish. Since 99, 8 players have moved permanently from Celtic or Rangers to Hearts, the most romantic team in the league on Valentine's Day. Craig Gordon, Andy Halliday, Stefan Mahe, Darren Jackson, Antti Niemi.
We are stuck, aren't we?
Right, the one from your era, Simon.
Striker.
Rangers, Hearts. Played down south as well. Tottenham, I want to say. A bit before my time. No?
Jury?
Yes.
Jury.
Gordon Jury. Okay. The centre back from your era, Scott. Think Rangers, Hearts, St Mirren, Dundee United, Scotland, Wigan, did he go down to? Someone like that.
Andy Webster.
And the last one, I told you it was tough. The only clue I was going to give you, and this helps nobody but me, this guy was in my class at primary school. There you go. Can I help you? No?
Absolutely not.
What do you mean?
Give us some sort of initials.
Played it for a lot of lower league clubs and kind of bounced around there, like Dumbarton.
It was in your class.
And Dumbarton, Airdrie, various clubs down there. No?
Lee Robinson.
Scott Gallagher.
Played by Gallagher.
Did you?
Yeah, fourth on loan.
There you go. See, told you. Anyway, thank you to Simon and to Scott. We are back tomorrow. What a weekend we've got in store. Really looking forward to it. So make sure you meet us here. 2 o'clock tomorrow. Clyde One Super Scoreboard is back, and the GBX is up next.